Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, and welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy and QT with you as usual. Real quick before we jump into things, if you're looking for some wrestling today, you have PTW in Paris, Kentucky. You have Lions Pride Sports in Bryan, Texas. And as usual, down in Aranaca Woods at the North Portland Eagles, you can find Blue Collar Wrestling today. Also, don't forget, if you're looking for something to do on Christmas night, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Outlaw Arena hosting its annual Christmas show that WCWO presents. So after you unwrap the gifts, after you have the big Christmas dinner, go over to Outlaw Arena, catch some wrestling. But without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest on today. Seds, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, since it is your first time with us today, we're going to start you off with the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, boy. To do that, we're going to have to go back about 20 years. way back in the day, I always watched. As far as I can remember, even as a little kid, I can remember watching wrestling. We used to have to go up and rig up all kinds of contraptions on a big old satellite dish just to get the right channels so we could watch any wrestling we can get our hands on. And from there, I actually started as a backyarder. I know that is horrible in some cases, but a lot of people did. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I started as a backyarder. In fact, some of the old VHS tapes, the backyard wrestling, I think I'm on volume 3. And from that point, I actually went, I probably should get some training here. And then I started, I'm not sure if some people might remember this person, but some people might not. His name was Awesome Adam. And he basically gave me my first real taste of a ring and what everything was about. And I started training with him. And then I moved on to training with Atlantis from Central Mexico Lucha Libre. And then I trained all over the place.
Now, when you're starting out as an actual trained wrestler, were you aware of the independent scene at the time and what all the wrestling was that was available at the time? Because I know a lot of people know that there's a backyard scene and then they know the major TV promotions. A lot of people don't necessarily realize there's an independent scene near them when they start.
I did. I actually got, how I found Awesome Adam was through IWF, I believe it was, out of Tacoma. He did a show down there for them, and that was incredibly long ago. And I happened to catch a show at the Bellevue Community College Gymnasium and sat down and with a few friends and spoke to him about it, and that's kind of how I got started.
Now, obviously, to have continued your career for the past 20 years and still going strong, you have a love of professional wrestling. What are some of the things that you most love about being a professional wrestler?
Well, as you know, and I'm sure everybody else listening has heard, you know, professional wrestling is definitely full of drama. But with that being said, what I love is the camaraderie, the people. I love being able to put, even now, being able to put on a good show that a bunch of kids come running up to me later and says, please sign these, whatever I threw out, ducks, in some cases. I had kids taking home bubble wrap from a show I did not long ago. That's what I love. That's why I do it. I do it because people love to be entertained, and the entertainment aspect is the most important part of this for me.
Early in your career, you worked for the XPW promotion, if I recall correctly. That was a promotion that had hopes of a national launch. They had some DVDs out. They had invaded ECW pay-per-views. They were getting a pretty good buzz. What was it like working for a promotion with that type of mainstream notoriety to it?
That actually is a pretty funny story. Initially, I went down to Psycho Sailor's promotion in Oregon, and I did my very first show for him. And I did it under the name, and I wasn't said at the time, I was Rage, and I had black leather pants, black leather shirt, did a lot of high-flying moves, not so much hardcore. When I talked to a few people there, and they had recommended that I talk to some people down in XPW. XPW, when they initially brought me down, the first day walking in the door, they also own an adult entertainment company. They thought I was auditioning for that. So I walked in, they took me into a room with a naked girl, and I was standing there going, what's going on? I brought my gear. I don't have gear for that. And they laughed, thought it was hilarious. I actually met Supreme that day. He was cracking up laughing, thinking this was the funniest thing ever. And they pushed me into XPW, and I did a few shows for them.
I talk about not being SEDS then. What was the transition for you from moving from Rage to adopting the name SEDS?
SEDS is a term that me and my best friend made up when we were little kids. It was a little code word. I don't even remember what it honestly means. One of the things I noticed is that Rage, it was just a term. People thought it was great, but it wasn't enough. SEDS stands out. SEDS is, nobody knows really what SEDS is. So SEDS stood out more than that name and got people's attention going right off the bat. And it, because SEDS is crazy, I just adapted to that kind of wrestling style.
I like you talk about having been part of XPW, and you were around Psycho Sailor, and I presume Randy Taylor when he was younger. There was a hardcore aspect that was around you in a lot of the places you went. Was hardcore wrestling something that was mentioned to you as something that you should get into by people in the locker rooms, or was that something that you tried out on your own and gravitated towards?
Anyone that has seen Awesome Adam knows that he pretty much wrestles the same style that I do. The shock and awe. Try to be creative with as many different things as you possibly can. The reason I kind of moved to the hardcore style was because it was kind of a respect out of the person that gave me that chance. And I carry a kendo stick to the ring because she taught me how to make it and how to make a correct one so that I didn't tear people up. He taught me how to do flips off of chairs. And so in respect and honor to him for giving me that chance, a lot of the wrestling style I adapt today is from him.
Now, one of the things that you have done in recent times here is you took one-third of the ownership of Combat Pro Wrestling here in Washington. To my knowledge, it's your first time in an ownership role of a company. What's that been like, transitioning from solely being in the ring to now being in the ring and also owning a percentage of the company?
The transition for me, because aside from SEDS, professionally, I am a businessman. I run my own company. I own my own company. So business-wise, I'm pretty smart. I've been doing this for a long time. Transitioning over to running the company, I'm trying to take some of the things I know from my personal life and add that into the company. One of the things that I'm stressing the biggest ever is this has got to be fun. This has got to be fun for everybody involved. And as much as people want to make it very strict, make it, you know, you have to prove yourself, in a lot of ways with CPW, I want to make sure that the people that come are having fun, but also the wrestlers that are coming are having fun, and the refs and the announcers and the people that set up. All these people deserve credit, but they don't get enough of it. So as one-third owner, I'm trying to make sure that this is presented and this is pushed so that people feel welcome and not like, oh, I had a bad show. The wrestler that's happy and the wrestler that I really enjoy doing that is the one that's going to come and do the next show. And when they go out there and they're happy and they're excited about being there, that presents to them as a better wrestler, puts it out to the crowd. The crowd absorbs that energy. Then they have a better time, and then you just keep growing from there.
As the owner of a company and as someone that has been in the business for a while now, I'm sure you see a lot of the younger talent, be it in person or watching footage of some of the younger generation that's coming in. Who are some of the younger wrestlers out there that only have maybe 3 years or less in the business that you think are going to be the future of professional wrestling, maybe not even in the Northwest, but just in the business in general?
Well, I have a few, not necessarily younger per se, but definitely a few. I want to give props out to Chase. He is a fantastic wrestler, not only in the locker room, but out there doing his thing. He has the charisma and the style to go very, very far in this, but also he has the respect and the humility that's going to take him very far with other people. Another person I'd love to plug is Steve Mix. Steve Mix is a local celebrity. He's the DJ at 99.9 on the morning show. One of the things that he does best is talk. That is something that you cannot teach. He takes his skills from mic and he puts that into a ring and he talks. When he talks, people listen. If he wanted to, and I'm not sure if this is something he wanted to pursue as a career or not, but if this is something that he really wanted to do, better than The Rock. And I hope people in other promotions take notice of that, because when you put him in the ring, he is absolute fire. Whether he's a heel, whether he's a face, it is fantastic. And then there's a lot of other guys I know that are that I give a lot of credit to. Jack the Snack. Jack the Snack is an easy one, because you put him out there, it doesn't matter what's going on, the crowd's going to pay attention. Here comes a guy in a pizza singlet throwing out ding-dongs, and that's what the crowd wants. They want to be entertained. I could go on and on and on and on and on about a lot of different guys, but most of the guys coming into this business, and especially the newbies nowadays, they've done a huge amount of change in the aspect of how they're trained. So when they're coming in and seeing us and saying, hey, I'd like to book a show, I'm not just looking at them as can they wrestle. I'm looking at them as can they entertain And that aspect has changed over the last 20 years. It used to be just, can they wrestle? Can they do something nobody else can do? Now it's, can you get the crowd, get behind them? Either they boo them or cheer them. That's the point that all young wrestlers are trying, should be getting to. And that's really what I'm seeing in a lot of the guys we work with today.
Along those lines, a lot of times what I see just observing locker rooms where I go all over the country, really, a lot of times these guys all train under the same people. They train the same way. They wrestle the same way. And a lot of the younger wrestlers know A to B to C to D, but they don't know how to do the things in between each move that really engages the fans. And while they might be technically very good, they aren't really remembering the fans are there to be entertained by them, and they're trying to remember A to B to C to D while not remembering the fans may want to go from A to D, where they might want to go from A to W and then back to B. Do you see that type of thing happening, or do you think that there's a different reasoning for this?
I definitely see that type of thing happening, but that comes with experience. Most of these guys that are getting in the ring, especially if they're relatively green, they're trying to put on a good show, but their first concern is making sure that they don't screw up the match. That's where their focus is. And so, yeah, I definitely see a lot of guys that aren't turning around and going, okay, the crowd is there and I should play to the crowd. That's okay, though. It comes with experience and time. When you've been doing this as long as I have, it becomes second nature to do something to the crowd to get them to go, to get them to react to you, and to get to yourself to be remembered so they come back and want to see you again. It's just time and experience in most cases. 99% of the guys look at it. They'll get to that point.
I agree with you for sure.
Thank you.
One of the things I have learned from being on shows with you in the last couple of years is you do a lot of Sedge rules matches, which is essentially a no DQ match or a hardcore match, however you want to phrase it. I'm sure you've been in other types of stipulation matches over your years. It's something that's very common on almost any show you'll see. Usually a couple of different stipulation matches nowadays. What's been some of your favorite stipulation matches to participate in during your career?
Just about anything, to tell you the truth. I actually find that some people call it junk wrestling. Some people call it hardcore wrestling. I actually want to call it prop wrestling. Because to me, part of the reason that Sedge Rules started was because if you use a ladder match, it's a ladder match. You use a table, it's a table match. You use a chair, it's a chair match. But what do you do if you come out and use a can and a silly string? What is that called? I adapted a lot of the Sedge Rules match from the SSP days because we were doing the goofy stuff that was getting over with the crowd that wasn't, it didn't align with any one particular match. And so what a Sedge Rules match allows me to do now is it can be a hardcore match. It can be through tables. It can be through chairs, garbage cans, whatever it is. But it can also be some guy comes out covered in bubble wrap and every single weapon that's under the ring is covered in bubble wrap and everything is nerfed. And instead of dumping out a bag of tacks, I dump out a bag of rubber ducks that all the kids can take home. And that's what matters. The kids want to take something home. They want to grab it. I saw kids taking home rolls of bubble wrap from a match we did. That's, to me, is amazing. So Sedge Rules match basically allows me to do any goofy to hardcore thing that I can possibly think of. And some of the favorite matches that I've done have been around a Sedge Rules match in one way, shape, or form. I've done one of the favorite matches I ever did was a bubble wrap fight with bubble wrap. Why? Because nobody's ever seen it before. Nobody's ever seen that done. Nobody's ever concepted that done. And it's entertaining and it keeps the crowd engaged. Another match I did with one of my former tag team partners, Kevin Mathis, the Dirtbag, we piled kids on top of another wrestler, and that's how we pinned him. And about halfway through that match, I was cracking up laughing because it didn't matter that I was laughing. The crowd enjoyed it. I was dying laughing. We couldn't stop laughing, and that's all it's, what it's about. It's fun. And the more fun you have in that ring, the more fun everybody else will have. So that's kind of how the schedules got adapted. And those are the matches that I like the most.
Well, we have a game we like to play on this show. We call it Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I'll give you the option of two scenarios, and the one that you most prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Frog splash or superplex?
Frog splash.
Chain match or Iron Man match?
Chain match.
Zebra stripes or a solid polo?
That's a good one. Polo, I guess.
All right. ECW or world class?
ECW.
Chicken or fish?
Say that again.
Chicken or fish?
Chicken.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Garfield or Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo.
Tea or juice?
Juice.
Joey Mercury or Joey Ryan?
Joey Ryan.
STF or Full Nelson?
STF.
Pin or submission?
Submission.
The last one, boots or shoes and kick pads?
Boots.
All right. Well, with that game concluded, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions as well, so I'm going to put you in the capable hands of QT.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Seds.
Oh.
Seds, I'd like to start off this part of the show by hoping that you've got most of your Christmas shopping done.
most people don't know, Seds has kids. So, yes, I've done that a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Well, is there any chance that you get the vibe that you are going to receive a hockey stick for Christmas? Hockey stick.
I'd love to get a hockey stick for Christmas, but I don't know who would do that for me.
Oh, okay. Damn. Doesn't Seattle have a semi-pro hockey team? That's what I'm getting at. Semi-pro.
Oh, yes, they definitely have a semi-pro hockey team. From what I've heard, they're going to be doing a pro hockey team here very, very soon.
Yes, I think we're starting up in 2021.
Yes.
Yes.
That and
very
we
good.
Have an XFL team coming. Yes.
Oh, XFL. Okay. You know, I do believe also that we have I know that in for a fact that we have a semi-pro team in the Portland area, and Buddy Highway plays defensive line. Have you worked with Buddy Highway a lot?
I have not worked with Buddy Highway a lot. I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't really had the chance to work with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Seds, as part of your bubble wrap match, was this in any way influenced by Bobby Heenan when he came to the ring in a suit of armor?
Sort of. Actually, it was done. The idea and concept was done by an associate named Weekend Warrior. He came up with the idea, and we just ran with it. I'm always trying to be creative when I do a match, not necessarily copying anything else. But I definitely looked to anybody for inspiration, and that's quite possibly where it came from. I'm not sure.
Now, do you I'm sure you're familiar of those pet supply stores that offer some of those plastic spears that a hamster can run in. Have you ever thought of doing a wrestler in a spear, a plastic spear match, where you're running around moving like a ball
idea.
Of
a...
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Don't tempt me.
Yes, I think somehow I think you can work that out. That'd be huge. Yes.
That'd be hilarious. They make those big suits, too, that are just the balls that go over the top of you. I believe that somebody's even trying to make it into a sport. That'd be hilarious. I'd love to do that.
Well, the reason I thought of this was I'm a huge fan of the movie Spinal Tap. And have you seen the movie Spinal Tap?
Yes, I have.
Remember when the bass player, I think his name's Ian St. Huggins, he got stuck in that pod on stage and they had to have the workers come and fizzle him out?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Well, somehow that was kind of like that inspired me that could work very well in a wrestling ring. Like have a tag partner that you tag in a wrestling ring. However, he's in a pod and for the whole match, he's trying to break out of this pod type hamster shell, and when he finally does, he gets the automatic pin.
That would be definitely entertaining and something I probably could work into something. So you've given me a good idea there.
I would pay big money to see Stein Guy also, in addition to his in duty ring referees, try to help a wrestler out of the pod.
We could have him get run over one or two times, try to help him out.
Yes. Well, you know, you could make the pod kind of oblong and misbalanced. So every so often when the wrestler would finally get his feet and make some progress in breaking out of this pod, he would tip over. Yes.
That would be funny. And that would definitely be something I would do.
Oh, okay. All right. Just hearing it, that you may or may not have been influenced by the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, if this ever happens. Yes.
Oh, I definitely would plug Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Oh, good. Okay. You might mention Dimitri. Dimitri, yes. The very capable ring announcer. Okay.
Of course.
Well, Sids, when you were a youngster doing your backyard wrestling, did you work on your – is this where you honed your promo skills?
Somewhat. In fact, I have somewhere a VHS tape of cutting promos that me and my idiot brother did many, many times. And some of them are so hysterical that if you watch them now, people would still laugh. You know, suddenly sitting down, doing an interview on a porch, and then going, I don't know where he is, and then you drop off the roof onto the thing, and he's like, what's going on? You know, we did a lot of goofball things just because we had a video camera and we could. As far as honing my promo skills, I'm okay on promos. I talk, believe it or not, Seds does not do well in talking. Business Seds does well in talking because it's an extension of me. But Seds just, when I go into Seds mode, it's hard for me to get out anything but, come on, yeah.
Oh, okay. That would lead me into my next question. When you were of that young age, were you influenced by Piper's Pit, especially when he smashed Jimmy Smith over the head with a coconut?
Yes, definitely. In fact, I was at the show that they were carting guys out to the ring that was on the other end of the field on a four-wheeler and a trailer, and somebody stopped, and all the wrestlers fell over the front of the trailer. And I remember that being the highlight of the show. I was like, that was so funny. Why don't they do that every time?
Wow, where did that happen?
That happened at, it was one of the college stadiums. They had rented out, like, the side of it. It was many years ago, at least, like, 2001, 2002. But everyone, if you look it up on Google, you can find it. There's a highlight reel of them falling off the the back of the wagon from down in, I'm not sure if it was Piper's Pit that was putting on that show, or, but I know he was involved.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And let me see now. Well, yes. Now, did you have a chance to meet Roddy Piper when he was doing his Portland Wrestling Uncut around 2008 in the Portland area?
I did. I did get a chance to meet him, sat down with him, talked to him. I wasn't close friends, but I was definitely colleagues with him at some point. He was a really, really nice guy, very influential, would always give advice. I remember I was down there, I was doing a show in Hillsboro, and it wasn't even for him. I can't remember, honestly, who it was for. But he showed up, and one wrestler decided to light me up, and he walked up behind me and goes, "Don't let that guy bother you, dude." You know, he was always the one to step up and just be there for people. So I did get a chance to meet him, and God rest his soul, I wish he was still around.
Yes, he very, very influential wrestler, especially with the Tonga Kid. He had an impact on the Tonga Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Sids, have you ever used the iconic 1960s toys Slinky and Etch-A-Sketch as a foreign object?
I have used an Etch-A-Sketch. Believe it or not, it's very filthy and dirty when you break. I've never used a Slinky, but an Etch-A-Sketch will kind of explode.
Okay, well, now, I think the Etch-A-Sketch may have made its appearance. Well, yeah, I guess that was the – I don't know if it was the early 70s or the 60s. How about the game Battleship? Have you ever used the Battleship as a porn object?
Never used a Battleship. Game Battleship. I've used the boxes from like Monopoly when nobody knew there was nothing in them. I think one of the best ones I've ever used, I used a Baby Gate once.
Okay.
Bounced it off the guy's head. I thought that, you know, I was just going to throw it at him, bounce it off him. No big deal. Bounced it off his head. It shot straight up in the air about 30 feet. And we both stopped and looked at it. Like, oh, that was kind of surprising.
Wow, okay. Now, Sids, were you still in high school when you started your background wrestling career, or was that junior high?
I probably started doing backyard junior high.
Oh, okay. Did you ever have your dad as a referee?
No. In fact, half the time we never told him or my mother or my best friend's parents what we were doing because we didn't want to get our heads bit off. All they knew is that we had a video camera.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you gone back and shown your mom and dad videos off this old camcorder?
I have, and I've shown a few people, and my brother and I both still have an old VHS tape of a lot of it. And sometimes it's funny just to plunk it in and be like, look at that. That was terrible. Look how young I was.
Well, Sids, do you still keep in touch with Psycho Sailor?
Not too much. I kept in touch with him when he was doing New Dimension Wrestling. You can actually, that's on YouTube. Video quality is terrible. But I did a little bit with him down there. That was usually through Awesome Adam. I've known Coach Mike Jones for a long time. Known Randy the Pimp Taylor for a very long time. Some of the other guys like Chef, known him for a very long time. It's interesting coming back around. Coach Mike Jones, I hadn't seen up until recently for 10 years. Didn't even know where he went. And suddenly I'm wrestling for him again.
Wow, holy smokes. Okay. Well, Seds, do you think the pop that Psycho Sailor got with the YMCA song and his outrage of the fans doing the YMCA song had the same impact as Snack the Jack throwing ding-dongs?
Well, Jack the Snack can get a lot of people over from the get-go. He's a fan favorite every time he walks out there. it's an instant face. He could try to be heel all he wants, but he just can't. Now, does he get the same reaction as Psycho Sailor? No. Psycho Sailor knows his stuff. He can push it like crazy. But, I mean, hands down, that's got to be Psycho Sailor as far as the pop goes. But, you know, Jack Snatch, one of my favorites. He's very, very entertaining.
Yes. Yes. Very, very good wrestler. Yes. Well, now, as one-third owner of CPW, who are some of the successful businessmen or women in the United States that you may have read their autobiographies of? Maybe Donald Trump's Art of the Deal, or maybe Gene Simmons' book, Sex Money Kiss with the Money Bag logo?
Actually, probably neither one of those. if you want to look for inspiration, one of the successful people and that has autobiographies and books, I'm going to say Mankind, China, and Diamond Dallas Page. They pretty much put out every bit of their heart and soul to do what they love and then put it in a book. And I got to say, if anybody actually wants to read these are things that I would swear by up and down almost every, across the board.
Yes, Mick Foley put out that book, Have a Nice Day.
Yes.
Were you a big fan of his character, Dude Love?
Yes. That by far, his alter ego is what inspired me for Business Seds and then Seds. Business Seds is handling a lot of the CPW role as the owner and manager. When you make him mad, out comes Seds. So definitely inspired by Mankind, Dulove, and Cactus Jack. The fact that he could do all three characters and basically put him in a different mindset in each one was unbelievable.
Yes, Dulove was very good, yes. Okay.
That's something you don't find much anymore. You don't find the people that can commit so much to a character that their personality, their walk, even their voice changes. And that... What Mankind, and I wish he'd still wrestled, but I understand why he really doesn't. It's just, at this point, it's pain. But I wish he did still wrestle, but you don't find that amount of commitment from a lot of people anymore, even in the professional industry now.
I think Eric Young came pretty close, fairly close.
He came, yeah, definitely came pretty close. I'll give it to him. He did a good job. But it's
yes.
Like, you know, if they took one character in WWE right now and did something like give him multiple personalities, you would have more viewers. They would tune in to see which one showed up.
Yes. Now, one personality that was kind of one-dimensional but still had a huge impact was Goldust. He was good.
Definitely. Yes. Goldust
yes.
was very good, and he was the shock and awe factor. It all goes back to being able to commit to a character and being able to do the shock and awe. He would do that thing with his hands where he'd run up his body and go, and that was, you knew something was coming. And that's, you could tell that he enjoyed what he was doing, and that's the biggest factor for me, is enjoyment. Have fun.
Yes, I believe that character and that particular motion kind of influenced Otis the Gimp.
Otis is a good friend of mine. I've had many battles with him. And I got to say, when you wrestle with Otis, you will have a very, very, very hard time not losing it and laughing. Because some of the things he comes up with on the fly that you have to just go with, and he, you know he's messing with you at that point. You know it. You know that he's about to do something when he comes running up to you. He's giggling under that mask, and you have no idea what's coming, but you know it's going to be bad.
Yes, I saw your YouTube video, McFondo, Milo, and Otis versus Ace, Jack, Seds, and Mathis. And what jumped out at me was Ronald McFondle. I'm sure you're old enough to remember the Ronald McDonald commercials of the 1970s, don't you?
Of course.
Well, do you remember a character named the Hamburglar?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Did you
at one point in time. At one point in time, SSG added, because Ronald McDonald was a big part of that, and his big character involved. And at one point in time, they added characters to his entourage. And one of them was called the Fry Guy. The Fry Guy had no arms. He wore a fry costume, and he had no arms. And at the end of the costume, there was just these little tassels, and he would whip the little tassels at you. It didn't matter that he couldn't do a move. It was so funny to watch. People would just go nuts for it. And I remember doing quite a few battles with McFondle himself and trying with everything I had not to keep a straight face. I'm supposed to be the bad guy. And when they deliberately try to mess with you to get you to crack, you know you're having fun.
Yes. Yes. Do you remember when The Rock called the Hurricane the Hamburglar?
Yes, I do. In fact, I saw that video not very long ago.
That was very funny, yes.
That was. That was on one of my news feeds not very long ago, actually.
Well, now, in that one wrestling match at 3-2-1 battle that involved McFondo, Milo, and Otis, were you surprised in the early going when Milo had got the upper hand and threw you out of the ring in the first 2 minutes?
Yes and no. that's part of the game. You know, Milo is definitely, you never know what's coming. You add Milo and Otis into that at mix, and you definitely don't know what's coming at you next. So always surprised.
Would you say that some of your wrestling gear was maybe inspired a little bit by the Nasty Boys?
Possibly. Actually, initially when I first started wrestling, I had leather pants because I thought that was cool. Not cool. And then I kind of moved to the long shorts because it was more of a hot topic. It was what was in, and I've kept them around for years. They got numerous times I've stitched them back up. I just try to add my own flair to it, you know, my own aspect to it. My current shirt that I use was made and given to me by the dirtbag Kevin Mathis. So I always respect and honor him for that because I always wear it. And I've done, you know, where stuff's shredded and where stuff's tore up. I always try to wear something that's interesting.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, one part of that video that stood out at me, that McFondo, Milo, and Otis, when you went up against them, was when Otis the Gimp tried to go to the top rope. He somehow couldn't quite get his balance on that top turnbuckle, and he started doing like a hand cartwheel to balance himself, thought the better of it, and he stepped down to the second turnbuckle and the second rope. Couldn't quite get the handle of that, so he stepped on the third and lowest turnbuckle, and from there he did an atomic splash, and he probably caught a height off the canvas of about 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For his size, it's amazing what he can do.
That's not bad. That was a seminal moment of that video. Yes, Otis again.
Yes. Absolutely amazing what he can do. And I usually just went along with whatever he wanted because one of my favorite people to wrestle ever was Otis.
Okay. All right. Well, Seds, as a wrestler and part-time owner of the establishment, if you could travel back in time and use your talent as a part-time owner and arrange a match between the members of the NWO and the NWA, the rock group NWA, do you believe that Eazy-E could have lasted 3 minutes against the big, sexy Kevin Nash?
Oh, that's a tough one. Probably not. And it's not because of that, it's Nash has a tendency, love him to death, don't get me wrong, but Nash has a tendency to gas out very quickly. That's why you very rarely saw him in a singles match. Almost always it was a tag team or a very short match.
Oh, okay. Okay, and it could be that Eazy-E would have escape tactics because of his street smarts. Yes.
And hey, Eazy-E would outrun him repeatedly because of his street smarts, and then Nash would eventually just get tired. I think he would catch him eventually and jackknife powerbomb him. And at that height, that sucks. But, yeah, it's a toss-up. I can't really declare a winner there.
Oh, okay. Maybe Kevin Nash would have a little bit easier time against Dr. Dre.
That's quite possible.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, when are you in action next? That's a huge question.
Well, the next show I have is down in Tacoma. I should have wrote down the address, but I forgot to. It's down in Tacoma for NGW, and that would be January 5th. And then we're doing another show up at the, what we call the Combat Cathedral, but if you need to look it up on the internet, it's the Living Room Coffee House, January 19th at 6 o'clock. I just finished up all the arrangements with them yesterday. And from there, I've got a lot of stuff coming into the works.
I like that coffee house in Marysville. I went up there last month. It was the first time that they had used that venue. What was your first impression when you heard that you were going to wrestle in a coffee house?
I'm actually the one that set it up. We did a show up here. One of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to get a family-friendly show out of Seattle. Because Seattle is adult shows, it's great. Family-friendly, much harder to get people there. So started looking at other venues. We did one at the Skate Center, which was had a pretty good turnout, and it got the crowd response that I wanted. But the ceiling was so low that when some people, like Jackson Price, got in the ring, his head was only about an inch and a half off the ceiling. So I started looking around. I found the coffee house. One of the things that we do is family-friendly is we always try to have food. We have food vendors. We have people that come. They have food already installed. One less thing we have to worry about. So we gave it a shot. It turned out really well. Ironically, the person that stole the show was one of our guys that was just helping in the back named Hero that was head-to-toe dressed in a llama onesie, and the crowd ate that up. They wanted the llama for some reason. So at the end of the show, I kind of shoved him out there.
Yes, the llama made a huge impact. It appeared that a group of college students were chanting for the llama. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Okay. And you know, that's one of the things that makes it fun, is if these guys start chanting for a llama, heck, if these guys want Jack the Snack and Bright Paint Tutu, I'm going to do everything I can to give them what they want. And as part owner, you know, I'm the one that literally grabbed Hero and kind of shoved him out the door, like, hey, they're chanting for you. Go! It made him feel good. He was enjoying it. He had fun. That, in turn, the crowd reacted. And that's what it's all about. It's about getting the crowd to react. And you'd be surprised, after sitting down and talking with the coffee house, how many people came back in and asked about the llama. Is the llama going to be back? And somebody even said, is llama wrestling coming back? And I'm like, what? So it's, you know, I heard from a couple of the guys that they weren't super happy that llama kind of stole the show. You know, what I want to say to them is this. Do something better. Beat them. Don't get upset. Do what you do and get the crowd to remember you and cheer you and boo you and do it with everything you got. I'm going to push whoever the crowd wants. I'm going to shove them out there because if that's what gets the crowd and fills the buildings and puts butts in the seats, great. That's what I want to happen.
Maybe at the upcoming match at the coffee house, you could have the llama suspended above the ring in a plastic egg and slowly lower the egg into the wrestling ring and have the llama try to break out of the egg.
If I had an egg, I would do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not okay. Sure how the supports would hold up there, but I'd ask.
Oh, all right.
There,
maybe you can.
It is an old church. There is a baptismal pool behind the curtain. Oh my God! You should have heard how many people asked if they could jump in the baptismal pool. I'm like, no, not the first go.
Oh, holy smokes! Well, are you a big fan of Steinguy's Sign of the Time videos that are produced
yes.
every Saturday?
Yes, I love his Sign of the Time videos.
Maybe as a businessman, there's some way that you could get the llama on a Sign of the Times. The llama.
That might work. That might be possible.
Yes.
I bet you would love to do that too.
Yes.
All
right.
It's all about fun. And that's what, I don't know why this seems to happen so many times in so many different groups. Somebody along the line ruins the fun. The guys are there because they love wrestling and they want fun. And then the fans are there because it's fun. And if it's not fun, they're not going to come back. So I guarantee all those guys that cheered for the llama, they're going to come back to the next show wanting to see the llama. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think it may not have been exactly all fun and giggles for that one lady who had a piece of pizza on her plate, and Defola Debashi came and bit a piece of her pizza and then put it back on her plate.
Yes, thankfully we knew who that person was. But Debashi kind of, I looked at him like, what in the world? And he's like, I know who it is, don't worry. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
That was great, because Debashi also, his character is phenomenal. He does really well. He's a good wrestler, but what he brings to the table is the fact that he can get the crowd going.
That's true, yes. Yes. I like his boots.
Yes. I love his headpiece that's American flag sometimes. It's so confusing. You're like, I don't know what to do. It's original, though. Originality is what really makes this fun.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and hopefully I can someday meet you in person and talk about this pod idea. Yes.
Anytime. Anytime. Happy to meet you.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Sedge, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to our listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming shows, merchandise, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, let's see. First, I'd like to start out. I want to thank the Living Room Coffee House publicly for allowing us to be goofballs. They really didn't know what to expect. I had to sit down with them and explain what wrestling was. When I said wrestling, they thought, like, college wrestling. I was like, no, it was characters. And they were like, oh, we have an image to protect. They gave us a chance. Now they want us back. That's phenomenal. So I want to thank them. I want to plug CPW January 19th at the Living Room Coffee House. I want to plug NGW in Tacoma. That I forgot where it's at, so I do apologize. And then I have a bunch of other things coming up. We're actually going to be part of Strawberry Fest up here in Marysville. We're going to be doing a show in Strawberry Fest as entertainment. I've partnered up with another group called West Coast Pitmasters. They work with the Food Network. They do barbecue events where there's like money on the line for competing barbecue events. And we're going to do entertainment, like at wrestling as the entertainment for them at least once, if not a few times. They will actually be, they're having a belt designed to give out as a barbecue champion, and will be hosting their event. So whoever wins the barbecue event will actually get a barbecue West Coast Pitmasters Barbecue Wrestling Championship belt. And that would be phenomenal. That would be really cool to see that. And then from there, we've got CPW has got, we're probably going to be doing Everett Sausage Fest, Playa Days in Snohomish. I can't remember what Lake Stevens water or something, Aquafest, Lake Stevens Aquafest, possibly Arlington's Duck Run. We're trying to get into more events that are family friendly and family friendly oriented so that we can be presented in front of more people. Beyond that, that's where we're at. So stay tuned, watch CPW. Make sure you like and share our Facebook, and we will be coming to a town probably near you very, very soon.
Well said, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. I will see you in a couple weeks there in Tacoma. And fans, if you get the chance to see Sed, come buy a ticket, support what he does. I'm not just saying that because he has the ability to give me a pay raise as one third of the owners of CPW. I'm going to definitely check him out. And we will be back with you next Sunday. We're taking this coming Friday off. We'll be back next week. And we will have with us the Polynesian Headhunter. So make sure you have plans to join us next week. Get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be. Happy holidays to all of you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thanks for having me.